Well, now I'm delighted once more to be joined by Sylvia Kent, who's landed with me today because Michelle Ward has thoughtlessly gone on leave. Oh, terrible.
Oh, she deserves a break.
Well, I suppose so. I think a broken neck might be good.
She's listening, so you be careful.
I better be careful. She'll do terrible things to me later on. Anyway, I've got Sylvia Kent and also local author Dawn Knox. So welcome, Dawn, as well.
Thank you very much.
It's good to see you there. Right. Now, Sylvia, before we get to, before we put Dawn onto the spotlight, tell me what you've been up to.
Well. Readers. Billericay readers. We have a reading group. We have 650 reading groups in Essex.
Really?
Very, very proud of that. This is a county that's not supposed to be so literally minded, but 650. And our one in Billericay has been going 16 years.
Wow.
I was a founder member. So,
sorry, you're a founder member?
Yep.
Good stuff.
I'm so old, you know. I can,
You should worry. Yeah. You should worry. Look at me.
But I've just finished Pat Barker's book, Regeneration, and you probably know it was, he's won prizes since it came out in 1991.
Wow.
And it's all about, obviously, the First World War. Siegfried Sassoon, Wilfred Owen, all involved. And it's really opened my mind to what the war was like. It was horrendous. We all know that. But when you actually read Pat Barker's book, you realise, you know, just... also, number two, from a writing point of view, Brentwood Writers' Circle is 75 years old.
Really?
I'm not an original member of that.
You got that in quick.
But I have, 1941 it started, during the war. We're very proud of our group. We've had some wonderful members. Dawn Knox, our guest here today, is one of our newest members. And we try to help them, get them published or agents or whatever. And we write about them in our blogs. I'm a great blogger. I like blogging.
So you don't have to be a resident of Brentwood to be in the Brentwood club?
No.
Because I think Dawn comes from... is it Aveley? Or?
No, she's Brentwood.
Oh, you live in Brentwood? Yes. Oh, see, I've got that wrong already.
Well, but there is a reason why you might have got that wrong.
Yes, I'm an idiot, that's why.
No, you're not. But we have people from Suffolk.
Yeah.
And, Oldborough, they come down.
Yeah.
Colchester.
Mm-hmm.
The other side, Havering. We've had our current chairman is from Havering.
Yeah.
So, we've been going a long time. And we often have competitions. Mm. Now, winning one of those competitions is good because it immediately shoots you up in your inspiration. And you can't wait to get going with the next one, next. And I've just won the 1916 fiction competition.
You've just won
and
it.
And I'm a ruddy journalist, you know. But I loved writing that story.
Yes.
And I'll be selling it, changed, to a magazine soon.
Yeah.
This is what you
can
do. You mustn't use it. But also the Society of Women Writers and Journalists in London. Lots and lots of people there that win some of the big prizes, national prizes.
What sort of prizes do you offer?
Money.
Cash.
I've won a lovely cup with a crystal bowl, which I'm very proud of. So for 1 year we hold that, and who knows, next year another lady sitting near me may win it.
Don't break it in the meantime.
That'd be awful.
Don't drop it. Yeah.
Awfully proud of that. So we're surrounded really by writers and readers, and hopefully they read our books. I've got 10 out there. And working on other things.
It's unbelievable.
Quite busy.
Yeah.
And as I say, our London organisation is 122 years old. And we had everyone from Joyce Grenfell to, the famous Vera Brittain, all members. But we all keep going. And, as I say, Dawn is our newest member, and she's doing great things. And I'm sure she will be telling you about them in a moment.
Right. Well, shall we put Dawn on the spot? Put you in the hot seat now. Now, I think I'm right in saying that your first book for young adults, Daffodil and the Thin Place, was published a couple of years ago. And now it's in its fourth edition of a sequel in the planning stage, yes?
Yes, there is a sequel planned.
Right, but in a very, very different vogue, in addition to numerous short stories, you've just completed a book about the First World War, and again have two seemingly very different books with your publishers now, one of which I think is a romance set locally in Plotlands in 1930, and another humorous story about garden gnomes. They're all so different in character, but shall we start with the First World War one, first of all?
I got involved in the Forget Never project, which is Stephen Metcalfe's project, and he's the MP for South Basildon and East Thurrock, which is probably why you thought that I wasn't from Brentwood. And I was asked to write a little sketch.
Right.
And I used to write sketches at the church where I used to go in Leyden. And the person who asked me was the church warden, but he also happened to be the leader of the Basildon Heritage Group, and he was involved with this project. But I didn't realise that at the time, and I imagined that I would write this little sketch for him, for his friends, give it to him, and never hear about it again. And he said, "Would you like to come and meet my friends?" And when I got there, there were members from the council. There was a representative from the MP, and I was introduced as a local playwright, which...
that put you on the spot.
Absolutely. Yeah. I nearly slid under the table in fear. And everyone was told I was going to be writing a series of little playlets. And I was
there's
there
knowledge.
Thinking,
that's a fastball with topspin.
Yes, absolutely. And I thought, I don't think I can do this, but I can't say so. And an inner voice was saying to me, look, a series of little playlets is only just a few little sketches just linked together. Just don't panic. And then I was told that it was going to be performed in Basildon in St Martin's Church, and they were expecting about 200 people. I nearly slid under the table again. And then I was told that part of the audience would be from Basildon's twin town in Germany and in France, so Heiligenhaus and Meaux. So now I had to write something which was going to be acceptable to not only English people, but Germans and French. And that was obviously quite a
bit of a challenge.
Absolutely. And that sort of led on to this book, because the work that I put into that... I've obviously used the things that stuck in my mind. The stories about individuals, it's not so much the battles, the generals, the ruling classes, it's the individuals, the people. And in actual fact, in this the book, which is 100 stories of exactly 100 words each, I have actually included the three soldiers that I had to write about in the play.
Now, I assume you weren't able to actually talk to anyone who was actually directly involved in that conflict. So how on earth did you set about pulling it all together and getting the information?
That was a problem, yes. But I did read quite a few books which were based on transcripts from recordings of soldiers who were there. Both, English, British soldiers, as well as German and French, and tried to get a different perspective. Just read as widely as I could, because before this I really knew very little other than the main points about the war. And I think what struck me mostly was the similarities that the average soldier, that the common people shared, whichever nationality they were, rather than the differences. They may have had different uniforms, they may have spoken different languages, but the common soldier shared many, many things. And I tried to think, what would it have been like had I had a son who'd gone, or a father, or...
Now, you only started this book back in February, and I think you'd hoped that it would be out in July of this month. Which may be a bit optimistic given the time frame there. So what's the latest on that?
book, the World War One.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Well, I actually published it myself because I recognised that it wouldn't. There would be no chance of it going to a publisher and possibly being accepted, but definitely being ready for this year because we've got a new project this year, which is Forget Never the Somme.
Oh,
and
right.
I wanted it ready for. That's why I wanted it ready for July because I actually didn't intend to write a book. I actually intended to write just a few stories for the chap who asked me originally to write the sketch and Bob, who is the chap in charge of Basildon Twinning, which is the other part of this project, just to thank them, really. And I actually intended to write about probably half a dozen of these stories of 100 words. And I had so many ideas, I just kept writing. And when I got to about 80, I thought, well, 100 would be really good. Are there 20 more inside me? I wasn't really sure there were, but there were.
But there were.
And having done it, I thought, well, this could be a book, but I knew it would never, ever get out. So I did something that I'd always said I would never do, and I self-published because I wanted it ready, and I wanted to thank them, and it's dedicated to them.
It's expensive to do that, is it not?
No, not not print on demand.
Not at all.
No, you don't pay out anything at all.
Yeah.
You could print off one book.
Yes.
Or as many as you like. It's available on Amazon. As somebody orders it, they print one. So no, otherwise.
So what about the book on the Somme? When are you going to do that? The second. You said you were doing another book on the Somme. Did you not just now?
No.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said you were doing another book all about the Somme.
No, this is the project.
Oh, I see. I beg your pardon.
I wanted it ready for that event, to thank Ken and to thank Bob.
Right.
So that's all part of the project, but
When you did the production, the stage production, how well did that go down with the audience, given that there were people from all of those different nationalities there?
Well, incredibly well. In fact, the Germans, surprisingly, amazingly, were so bowled over with it that they wanted it performed in Heiligen House. It was performed last year. And considering it was performed by the same actors, it was a professional acting company, Dot Productions, they performed it in English.
Right.
At the end, the Germans, there was a standing ovation, and the theatre was actually full.
Excellent.
So that was...
That's got to be a tribute on its own.
Well, it was amazing.
Fantastic, isn't it?
I mean, the actors were brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and even if you hadn't understood English quite as well as you might, although a lot of them obviously do, you could understand what was going on. And this year, it's going to be performed in Mo. But what was really special to me was that the first performance, a lady came over from France, and she was actually the daughter of the man who was in the play, who was being honoured in the play. So it was amazing to meet her, and she's actually driving now this performance in Mo this November.
That's excellent. Absolutely superb. Okay, let's go back right now to the first book that you wrote for teenagers, Daffodil and the Thin Place, which seems to have had very good reviews. Would you like to briefly outline what the plot's all about here?
It actually takes place in the church where I used to go, where I knew Ken. And that church had a priest house built on the side of it, and that was in, I think, the Tudor times, and it became a school. And then in the Victorian times, it was closed down and the school was moved to somewhere, to a proper building.
Yeah.
And the story takes place in this school. And it involves a girl called Daffodil who comes from current times. And she finds a place that I call the Veil in the Thin Place, and she slips back in time and she has adventures there. Does all sorts of things there.
Yeah.
And then comes back.
So where did you get the idea from?
I was actually in church. This was when we were during a period of interregnum. And we had I think it was one of the archdeacons come and he was talking to us, and he said, I love this building. He said, it's so old, the church is 13th century. Hmm. He said, this is a real thin place. And I thought, well, what's that? And yeah. he went on to explain that a thin place is a place which is obviously very thin between this world and the next world. And there was more of a religious connotation, but I thought, what a fantastic thought that there could be thin places. You know, it may be a Druid circle, it may be a church, but somewhere where people have had really good thoughts over many, many, many years, and it's sort of thinned the difference between our world and the next. And that really started it, and I thought, well, if this is a thin place, it deserves its own story. And where Daffodil came from, I really can't remember. Why I chose the name, yes. I can't remember that either. But I thought it sort of stood out a bit.
And now you're planning a sequel. So any idea of the time frame on that and what the new plot is going to entail?
Yes, well, she goes back and she will meet up with the character that she mainly interacted with was Amelia. She goes back now, which was during the Victorian times, but she goes back now and it's actually during World War One, and she's now talking to this Amelia's children, and one of Amelia's sons has volunteered and gone out there and he's underage.
Right. Have you got a title for this? Well, you're still working on
I think it's going to be called Daffodil in the Trench.
Oh, right. Okay. And what about, now you've got these other two books that are with the publishers now. Is it too soon for you to give any information on those?
Sadly, yes. I'm still waiting on those. But I have just heard that I've had two other stories accepted. So
good news.
Short stories. So,
excellent.
One is in a book, an anthology that comes out in November, I think ready for Christmas, because it's about Christmas baubles.
Yeah.
And the other one is actually a story that's on the Café Lit website, which is another one of 100 words.
Yeah.
And that was actually one that I wrote for Christmas, and it's in their Best of Café Lit for 2015.
Good stuff.
So I've just heard that last week, so I'm quite
now,
pleased.
I've got to ask you this. Yeah. When you're writing these books, how do you manage to keep the characters in character? Because it can't be easy. You build up a character and you may find them acting in a different way if you're not careful.
Oh, they do. Absolutely, they do. Especially those garden gnomes.
Oh.
Those garden gnomes really did take over.
Oh, right.
They started out as a very short story that I was doing for a different writers group that I belong to. And it was a list of completely unrelated items, and we had to pick 10, I think, and build a story around it. And that's how it started. And I fell in love with these little characters. But over the weeks, as we got more and more writing prompts, I built these characters around these writing prompts, and they just grew and grew. And they don't behave at all.
Sylvia, you want to come in there?
Well, can I remind you about Essex Belongs to Us? But you've added to the anthology. We're all doing this, by the way.
Oh, yes,
In Ventmore's Wine. But I know that immediately you had started doing something. And what's your subject?
Oh, I've actually written two, and I've heard back that
they're going to use them. That's good.
Yeah.
So one is actually about the Plotlands again.
Oh, that's the Plotlands, yes.
Yeah, and another one is actually about the Pitsea Explosive Factory.
Oh, yes.
One is sort of mainly World War II, and one is World War One.
Because the Plotlands were a big sort of area between the wars, were they not?
Yes.
Now, I've got to just change the subject slightly, because I'd seen your blog, and it's all about a dog. What's all that about? I couldn't understand that at all.
Well, I've actually brought him today. That's Reg, who is my mascot. He's sitting there with the headphones on. And when my husband and I took early retirement, we decided we would travel around a lot, and he goes everywhere and has his photograph taken. So I have actually taken a photograph of him wearing his earphones here.
Good stuff.
And I think I was trying to blog and running a little bit out of ideas, and I thought, I wonder if I sort of took on the voice of Reg, what I would write, and he's quite cheeky as well, and he's more or less taken over my blog, actually, and he called it his blog, which is a dog's log.
Right. Now, you're obviously, you say about you're not anticipating huge sales of some of these things. Does writing these days pay? You couldn't make it, unless you're a real, you know, one of the big names. It must be very difficult to make a full-time living out of writing, is it not?
Yes, I think so. And I do it because I love it.
Well,
and
that's,
I don't really expect to make a lot of money out of it. I'm also very reticent at sort of pushing myself forward to say, here I am, I've got a book, it's wonderful, could you buy it, please?
You're doing it today.
Yes. But
she has an agent sitting next to her.
Yes, indeed.
It's very hard to do. And so I sort of put them out there, and if people take any notice, they do, and if they don't, they don't. But you're right, I think to make money is hard.
And may I say, if you have a column, you're paid every week or every month. So, yes, you can make money.
Yeah, yeah.
And your big books... you get royalties a couple of times a year, and some of our books are 18 years old. So
yes,
you can make money.
And the other thing I've noticed in this past week or so is that I think it was announced that there were more sales all of a sudden of hard books rather than electronic books. And I have to be honest, I don't like electronic books. I like to have something in my hand. Yes, what are your feelings about that?
That's so. And as soon as you have our publishers, we have five publishers between us, they immediately put our books on Kindle.
Yeah.
So in actual, you've got a big one and a little one.
Yeah.
And they both do quite well. So yes, you can. And we don't want to put listeners off for not writing, but yes, you can. And build. I mean, once you've got a stable of books behind you.
Yes.
And also, you can earn money otherwise by going out and giving talks and book festivals. Mm. And, you know, it just builds from there. But you have to have a bit of confidence.
Yes.
But a lot of it is the enjoyment, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
It's just getting on and doing something like that.
And words. We love words. Yes. We're passionate about words, aren't we?
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, look, many thanks to both of you for taking the time out to come and see us once again today. And Sylvia, you'll be pleased to know that Michelle will be back in the slot next month.
Yes.
So anything you want to say about next month's proggy yet? Or is it too soon?
No, we've got someone lined up for Michelle who's written a book about Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, right.
Now, you would know. I'm sure my little friend, my new best friend, Courtney, would not know. You do. That's wonderful. Also, we've got the author of Laurel and Hardy, I met in Southend at, again, another big do. He's coming in, I think, in September. I'll be travelling a bit during August, so I will send you some authors if you like.
That would be good.
But may I just say that we've got on Saturday, the 6th of August, the Brentwood Writers Circle will be meeting at Bardswell Club.
Oh, yes, Bardswell Social Club on Bardswell Road.
Yeah, it's fun because our usual place is on holiday. That's the Ursuline. But, you know, we have great fun there, do we not? You're coming, Dawn,
absolutely.
Are you?
Yes, I'll be there.
Courtney, if she's free. We love visitors. And love you, of course.
Goes without saying.
We'd love you to come in one day and tell us about your work on radio, because it's very important to us, isn't it?
Yes,
I think
definitely,
so. But thank you so much for having us.
It's our pleasure. Thank you very much indeed for coming in.
Thank